The future of a major infrastructure bill still remains murky after weeks of negotiations, but there is some clarity today. A bipartisan group of 10 senators says they've hashed out a deal. We're joined now by one of those senators, John Tester, Democrat of Montana. Senator, welcome.
It's great to be with you, Peter. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. And we're all eager to get more details on this deal. What's in it? What can you tell us?
Well, look, it's a deal that deals with traditional infrastructure. It's not entirely done yet, Peter. I mean, I want to make sure this is paid for, and I think that's where some of the unresolved issues are. But I will tell you, it's very, very close. It's just under $600 billion of new money. That's above the baseline that's normally spent on these projects. So it's a serious investment. It'll make a big difference if we're able to get bipartisan support to get this through. And I think it's going to take more than just 10 Republicans. I think the Republicans will tell you that, because quite honestly, there's no guarantee we're going to keep all the Democrats.
Why did you decide to stick with traditional infrastructure only? Was that a deal breaker for the Republicans in the group?
Yes. It was. They were not inclined to do things that were outside the traditional infrastructure norm. I will tell you that from my perspective, I see where lack of housing inhibits the economy. It's the same way lack of transportation would. So I think it's a reasonable step to include housing. And I could say the same thing about child care. I could say the same thing about senior care. And if we're able to address those, I think it allows businesses to grow and new businesses to pop up much more freely.
And Senator, your group of 10 there has said that this will be fully paid for without raising taxes. Tell me how you're going to do that.
Yeah, most of it deals, I guess you call it Washingtonian ways of going about it. I'll give you an example of one. There's some dollars the IRS can claim because people are not they're cheating on their taxes. And so if we put a few more folks in the IRS, that will result in some pretty serious money, quite frankly.
How much?
In dollars. Look, I think we're around $60 to $100 billion. There are folks out there that will tell you it should be closer to $1 trillion. So we undershot it a lot. And then, of course, there's some debate around the gas tax, which is a user fee. President Biden made a commitment not to tax folks under $400,000. I have a real concern that that's exactly where most of this will fall on, is the folks under $400,000. So I think we're going to have to revisit that moving forward. But, you know, other than that, I think it's fairly well set. There's a few line items I would like to see a few more dollars in. For instance, replacement of lead pipes and water infrastructure. But we're very, very close and almost there on just about everything.
How do you expect to get around this gas tax issue to raise revenue here? As you say, the president's not going to be on board if you're raising taxes on people who make less than $400,000 a year. Sounds like, I mean, there's no way around that, is there?
Well, no, I think there is a way around it. I think there's other avenues by which we can get revenue. Look, I think when this thing started out, we had three pages of potential revenue opportunities, if that's what you want to call it, to pay for this infrastructure bill. We boiled that down to about a half a page. So there's some other things we can go back and revisit.
Okay, the issue of Democrats. Some have been very clear that they want to raise taxes on the rich, and they're not going to support a bill that's not ambitious enough on the issue of climate or clean energy. Are you going to lose Democrats with this?
Well, look, I don't know. I think everybody's got to look at it. It's not certainly not a perfect piece of legislation, but I think everybody's got to look at it from their own point of view and make a decision on if this is the right thing to do for the country. The bottom line is this, Peter. There's going to be plenty of reasons not to vote for it. I look at it as honest investment in roads and bridges, in the grid, in our ability to make sure we get broadband out there, and some other things, and I think it does a lot of good for this country to make it competitive with China. And so that's how I hope people approach it, but each to their own. And in the end, we've got to get 60 votes. And if we're able to get 60 votes, then we're off and running. If we're not, then, of course, we got problems.
Well, you know, Senator, I think you're being pretty clear-eyed about the challenges ahead of you for members of both parties. You got to get the Democrats, and you got to get at least five more Republicans. If you can't do that, are you willing to pass an infrastructure bill with budget reconciliation, with no Republican support?
Look, I think there are things that aren't in this bill that are going to disappoint a lot of people, and because they disappointed myself. I mean, when I come back, I hear a lot about housing. When I come back to Montana, and I hear a lot about child care, I hear a lot about senior care. That's not in this bill. And so I think we're going to have to address that in some way or another. Otherwise, it'll continue to hold our economy back from being able to grow and our ability to be able to compete in the international stage. And we have to make sure that we're doing everything we can to give this country the opportunity to maintain its position as a leader in the world. So the answer to that is yes.
Hmm. Senator John Tester, Democrat of Montana, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.